stuff don't bother us? It bothers you. But when you have a relationship with Jesus,
all right.
When you, they can say, well, I saw how you were before, but now I can see a difference. They're saying, I can tell that you spent some time with Jesus. When they were used to you reacting a certain way and you don't react that way anymore. You know, even after you get saved, you can say those things that I used to do after I got saved. I don't do them anymore. The way I used to talk and think when I was a new babe in Christ, I don't do them anymore. Because there has really been a great change in me. And because I've been with Jesus, I'm able to say, I am so happy. I am so free. Glory to God, Jesus took my heavy load. Thank God now I'm on that. Come on, Jesus took my heavy load. Amen. Now, if you want God to take it, you got to spend some time with him. He can't take it by you dwelling on yesterday. And he can't take it by you dwelling on the pains, the hurts, the difficulties. Amen. But he can take it when we, like Paul said, forgetting those things which are what? Even if it happened this morning, it's behind. Forgetting those things which are behind and doing what? Lord, I got to keep reaching and keep pressing. Every day that we live saved is a press. Say they took knowledge that he had been with Jesus, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could not say nothing. Get God involved. When God starts moving, listen, they've been talking about agape for years, don't mean a thing. Because when God starts moving, somebody said they took knowledge, amen, and they had been with Jesus, but most of all they could say nothing. Why? Because God is involved. Amen. The minute we start fighting a carnal battle, the women we start fighting a verbal battle, I said that's not God. Amen. But my testimony, my witness, is that they look at what God had done and they could say nothing. Listen, you can't get excited unless you get involved. God can't help you looking from the outside on the inside. You got to get involved. So they said they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. Listen, the devil always gonna plot. Somebody gonna always connive. If it's in the neighborhood, if it's in the family, if it's on a job, don't make a difference. They gonna always confer and conspire. But it says, sin, what shall we do to you? What are we gonna do to them? What can we do? For that indeed, God has done something in their midst. You know, when you think that somebody was backslidden for 21 years, had turned their back on God, wasn't walking with the Savior, didn't even want to hear that name, and you see that God has changed them. You can't say nothing.
That's right.
Ah, yes, Lord. You can't say nothing against it. For indeed, a notable miracle has taken place. Lord, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my very soul cries out. My soul cries out, hallelujah. thank God for saving me. I said, they said there's an elder that somebody said he's on Satan's roll call. Somebody said there's an elder that walked with the Lord, man, he's going to be a trophy of hell. But when God does something, when God, you don't have to worry about them judging on the outside. The songwriter said, I didn't think it could be, hallelujah, until it happened. You got to get real with God. We're not talking about playing church anymore. We're talking about being real. Well, when you see the miracles, when you see the change, man can't change it. Man can't do it. So indeed, a notable miracle has taken place. Jesus has saved. So we don't have to go by what they say. Because behold, when we look around, we see. They can't say that, well, they won't make it but a month or a couple of months. God is good.
Great.
God is good.
Great.
Lord have mercy. God is good.
Great.
You don't have to worry about man justifying you. Why? Because God is good. I'm trying to get through this. I ain't want to take all day, you know. But when God has done something, so often in our lives we try to get validation. Well, let's go talk to the church. No, you know what God has done for you.
Amen.
Because the woman that had the issue of blood and that spent all of her life saving, trying to get healed, when she knew that Jesus, that's why you got to have that encounter. Everybody trying to get healed out of Jesus. The Bible said we got to go. She said, I've spent everything trying to get healed. But instead of getting worse, better, I'm sorry, she got
worse.
She got worse. She had not yet had her encounter with Jesus. But when she saw Jesus, and I'm telling every last one of you, you better see him.
Come on. Right.
She realized this is my last hope. This is my last ray of sunshine. This is the last opportunity that I have to be changed. And though there was a press and a throng all around, I could see the lady moving one other way. She said, I don't care if it takes me forever. I got to get to Jesus. Because if I can but touch, Lord, you got to learn to touch. You got to learn to feel it. I don't have to touch all of it. Just let me touch a little part of it. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Now, when she touched him, she already knew she was healed. But just to have that clarity for everybody else, Jesus said, who touched me? Lord, this afternoon, who's touched me? Amen. In your circumstances, in your circumstances, have you pressed? In your circumstances, have you fought through the crowd? The woman said when she touched him, immediately she was healed. But just to help everybody else understand, Jesus said, who has touched me? Well, Lord, all these people around grabbing you, she said, but no, there's somebody that touched me a little different. Somebody touched me with faith. Somebody touched me believing that I can do something for them. That's what the Word of God says. If it is the gospel and it's not mixed with faith, it will not profit you. Jesus said this wasn't an ordinary touch. This wasn't a normal touch. And I think we got to get back to that First King next week. The week after, because my wife got next week. She had this week, really, because she preached already, but nevertheless, we'll get back to that later. We'll stay in Acts for now, so put that for the next time. But we will get back to it, and I do assure you that, because that's God speaking to me. But the woman that had the issue of blood, she said, I've got to get to Jesus. In our circumstances, whatever's happening in our lives. See, I was in the hospital, but the doctors couldn't do it. I went in, came out, oh, everybody had their prognosis and diagnosis. I knew who Jesus was. I didn't need nobody to judge my situation. Because even laying there in the hospital bed, I had a little talk with Jesus. The problem with most saints today is you talk to Jesus, God talks to you, and then you go and listen to somebody else. You got to learn to talk to him for yourself. Amen. In the beginning, just like you parents, you help your child, but then you have to give them some free rein so they can learn to do what? Walk on their own two feet. In the beginning, they stumble, they fail. We help helping them. And I like Isaiah. Read Isaiah 65, 24 on your time, not my time. Just put it in your notes. The Lord said, and it shall come to pass. Amen. That while before they even call, I will answer. That's why I can't do without God. Before you call, he said, I'll answer. And while you're speaking, he says that he will speak back to us. That's the kind of God that we serve. Before you even call, God knows about tomorrow. God knows about today. Before you call, he said, I will answer you. But let me get back to this. When Jesus realized that something had come out of him, most of us talk to God, most of us pray, but we don't get nothing out of it. We don't extract any virtue. Virtue is spiritual excellence. When you get spiritual answers, that changes you. I don't care how you used to think. I don't care how you used to act. When you have a real encounter with Jesus, you'll never be the same. You won't act, you won't talk, and you won't think like you used to think, because God will change you. It's in verse 17. He said, let us spare no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man. And they've been trying to stomp him out for a long time. They've been trying to get rid of the name of Jesus. Amen. But somebody said, it's something about the name of Jesus. It's something about that name. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. They didn't want them to use the name. Who was that? Oh, that was that you, Minister Simon, that said, oh, it's Minister Gibbs, I believe. He said, say Minister Gibbs. Say other camp, guess what? No, nothing happened. But I guarantee you one thing, when you say Jesus, and when you say it from the depths of your soul, when you say it for your inner man, there's a change. Somebody said, there's a movement. From the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, the Lord will do something. Why? There's power in that name. Amen. I told you that we almost lost control of the car, but I knew to say, Jesus. So though it felt like it was out of control, I just backed up and said, Lord, you're in control. And God turned it around. The name of Jesus. It's the most precious. Yeah. It's the most sweetest name you'll ever have. Like I said, my wife has a beautiful name. But when I'm in trouble, you can be guaranteed I'm not going to call Paulette LaDonna. I'm not going to even add camp on it. I'm just going to say, Jesus. And when she's in trouble, she better not call me either. After she gets delivered, she can. But in the midst of the deliverance, you gotta go to somebody that got some power. And the power is in the name of
Jesus.
I said the power is in the name of
Jesus.
Hallelujah. They said, don't even mention his name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, but teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right. You got to have some conviction about being saved. You don't let people push you around. You don't let people tell you how to disregard and dishonor your God. You got to have a mind to stand. I said you got to have a mind to stand. Hallelujah. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. And so you think I'm going to listen to you more than you do to than I do to God? How many have that testimony? Well, in essence, how many really live that? Because a lot of our present circumstances are being dictated by man because we're not listening to God. We say, yes, God can. Yes, God will. But in all actuality, when we make our final decision on how we're going to react, we do it based on man and not God. The apostle said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and which we have. So you judge. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve. Come on, that's for me and my house. We're going to serve. It's time to get on the Lord's side. It's time to stop playing church. It's time to be real. It's time for you to touch the Lord and have the Lord touch you back. It's time for you to allow the Lord to make some new ways in your life. Because the old ways just don't work anymore. The scripture said, why do you spend money for bread that cannot satisfy? Why are you going to buy water that has no power and no help? When our hope, our trust should be in Jesus. Let's go to chapter 5. We're going to just read a couple of verses here. And then we'll close in here. Chapter 5. I don't know about you, but it's just good to know who Jesus is.
Amen.
I said it's good to know who Jesus
yes.
is.
Yes.
I was talking to Brother Fred, and Brother Fred, he said, you know, I want people to be there for me for my surgery on Tuesday. He said, but you know, in the final analysis, when I get in the operation room, it's only going to be me and Jesus. There are some places that your husband cannot go with you. There are some places that your wife cannot go with you. There are some places, you know, me and my family down south, we're really close. You know, we stick together. As a matter of fact, my sister called me and said, you didn't call me in a while. But we're close. But there are some places that my brothers and sisters cannot go. There are some places that Suffragan Bishop Hayes cannot go with me. And every last one of us, there are some places that a man, woman, or child cannot go. When you get there, it's only going to be you and God. If you haven't built a relationship with him before you get in the circumstance, how can you have confidence that he's going to be with you in the circumstance? You haven't built a relationship. You haven't learned to hear his voice. You haven't learned to hear him speaking to you in your circumstances. So you know why you fear so much when it's just you by yourself? You don't have confidence in the Savior. Because if you have confidence in the Savior, you can say, well, through hell I'm on. As long as I got God, I'm all right. As long as I got Jesus, I'm all right. chapter 5, and we're going to read this in closing. Amen. We're going to start with verse 25. Actually, since I'm not going to go back to the other one, I'm going to read just a little further. Let's start at verse 17. It says, then the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. There are times when men think he can bind you. But when God's on your side, no matter what the outcomes look like, when God is on your side, when God is on your side, they can't bind you. They can't keep you in prison. They can't keep you down, but you kind of get him on your side. Lord, how can I get you on your side? Every day was Jesus. I said every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I what? Love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me. He's the one I adore. Why? Because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Saints, don't allow the devil to misguide your mind. To make you seem like since I got saved, and boy, I walk with Jesus to worship again. No. He's allowing you to go through the test. So at the end, you're going to have a what? A testimony. You don't lose with God. You don't miss out with God. You lose when you start leaving God out. Amen. He said, they put him in prison. But the angel of the Lord. Watch this miracle, what God does. Now, man can think they can bind you and have you all trapped. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words. Just be obedient to God. Make your sin. Tell people about Jesus. Tell them about the gospel. All the words of this life. And when they had heard that, they entered into the temple. Verse 22. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, this was a miracle. Now, man thought they had them bound. They had the guards, and they were watching. But God was moving. God was working. Now, how did they get by the guards without them seeing them? How did this happen? Because God was on their side. So though they think they can bind you, though they think they can tie you down, not with God. It says, saying the prison truly found we shut with all. We don't understand what happened. We don't understand how they got out because everything was secure and in place. And the keeper standing without before the door, but with God. We don't understand how they got out. Everything was in place, but God. Before the door, but when we had opened, we found they weren't there. Whatever you have experienced in your life, just keep God involved. They look for your demise, but God promoted you on the job. They said you're going to lose your house. They took it, but God gave you a better house. They can't even repossess the car, but God was already working on the other side. Truly, we came. And all of our conniving was in place. But God had done something. That's why the scripture said there is no weapon. Can you say that? There is no weapon that is formed against us that shall prosper. For if God be for me. I said if God be, who then can be should not lose.
All right.
Keep God involved. He said, but when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they went on saying, the prison truly found me shut. Verse 24. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of themselves, well, unto this was glory. Now when God started blessing you, when God started blessing the church, so that it doesn't look like it's God, we have to conspire and confer and get another plan to try to make them look like God's not there. But if God is there, then came one and told them, saying, well, he said, we don't want this to go any further, so they were already conniving. Whatever you do in your life, just keep God involved. No matter what the devil or anyone else does, it will not prosper. It won't farm. It won't hurt you because you are a heritage of the Lord. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Now, these were some big, bad men, right? They're tough. You know, they got the saints all backed up in the wall. And, you know, we run this show, right? See what the big, bad men do when God's involved. Then with the captain, with the officers, and brought them without. They bought them without violence. Why did they bring them without violence? Because they what? Feared the people. So indeed, God is moving in this. We got to handle them in a certain way that we don't cause too much of a stir. So we got to plan that conniving. We got to do it in a mischievous type of way so the people are misguided. That might sound like something, but you know, just put it where it's at. He said, for they feared the people, lest they should have been. When God's on your side, when he's moving, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about a man. You don't have to worry about the devil, because God's on your side. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you that ye should not? Trying to mess with that name. You gotta leave it alone. Amen. Jesus has already said what he's gonna do. And nobody's gonna change or alter his course of prophecy. It's gonna happen just like he said. He said, and behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we are to obey God as we stand. As we stand and the ministers and elders come forward, who are you obeying this afternoon? We are to obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than what somebody else has said. God must be first, and God must be the primary focus of all of our lives. As the praise team begin to sing, only you and God knows. But if you keep God involved, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or say. He knows how to work it out. So this afternoon, when we leave, make sure you can say that my life is in one accord and obedience to the Lord, Pastor Terry.